Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, Karma Yoga, text number 21. Yad yad achari shestas, tat tadeve taro janaha, siyat pramanam kurute, lokas taranuvartate, yat yat. Whatever acharity he does, shrestha, a respectable leader, tat, that, tat, and that alone, eva, certainly, itarha, common, jana, person, sa, he, yat, whichever, pramanam, example, kurute, does perform, loka, all the worlds, tat, that, anuvartate, fall in the footsteps. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is a way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Yad yad charity shrestas tat tad eva taro janaha siyat pramanam kurute lokas taranuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Whatever standard he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. When Prabhupada was speaking to Professor Katosky at the University of Moscow, he tried to explain different philosophical points to him, such as the difference between one's body and the soul. But Professor Katosky could not understand such deep philosophy as the fact that our body is changing, but the soul doesn't. So then Prabhupada tried to introduce to him the concept that in society there should be a class of men who should be intelligent. And I guess Professor Katosky wasn't intelligent enough to understand that either. And then Prabhupada explained, finally, one point, which Professor Katosky may or may not have agreed upon, but he said that actually there's no difference between your philosophy and our philosophy. In your philosophy, you take Lenin as your leader, and in our philosophy, we take Krishna as our leader. So ultimately, it's the same thing. You have to choose someone as a leader and follow them. Now, of course, if you choose Lenin as your leader, wherever he goes, that's where you're going to go. And if you choose Krishna as your leader, then wherever Krishna goes, you'll go wherever Krishna goes. But you have to choose someone as a leader. Now we've chosen so many people as leaders, we're not even aware of who actually our leaders are. But we can see when people are young, when they choose someone as a leader, then they start imitating them. In America, they had this movie called Spider-Man. I don't know if you had Spider-Man here also. Probably everywhere. There's Spider-Man everywhere. And they started to sell uniforms. So children started to dress up as Spider-Man. They became their leader. Just like in America, when they first came out with Superman, then children used to dress up as Superman. And even children used to jump off the roof of their houses hoping that they would fly. Unfortunately, they didn't. That's called learning the hard way. Making sure who you try to imitate. Rather, there's a difference between imitating and following. But they didn't understand the difference and they had a hard time learning. So similarly, we have to choose someone, anyone who we see is greater than we are, even if it's only theoretically or even mythological or imaginary, then we'll try to imitate them or even try to follow them. Of course, the more intelligent way is to find out how they got to where they are. Of course, if you imitate Spider-Man, who doesn't exist, I think theoretically he got bit by a spider and became Spider-Man. So let all the children get bit by spiders and see which one comes out as Spider-Man. Or Dead Man, or whatever. So trying to imitate something that doesn't exist is not a good idea. Or even trying to follow the footsteps of some imaginary hero. But if one finds that there is someone who is exemplary, and then finds out how they became exemplary, and then takes the process to become exemplary, that is the purpose of a leader. That the leader just doesn't happen to be exemplary. They must be following some process to become exemplary. And if the leader can explain how they became to the position that they're at, then how can they actually be a leader? How can they lead anyone if they don't even know how they got to where they are? And whether or not it's worthy to be in that place. In other words, before we choose a leader, we should find out where we want to go to. If you want, just like it says in the Mahabharata, Tarka apratishta shutiya vibhina nisavarishir yasyanavinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena katasapanta. That means tarka apratishta. Apratishta means unsteady. And tarka means arguments. So arguments are good, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because they fortify the mind. But they're also apratishta. There may be no end to the arguments. I have one argument, and then I try to defeat your argument by putting forward another argument. And so if all we're left with is arguing with each other, we won't make any progress to understanding what is the process of whatever the process we're looking for. And then shutiya vibhina, we're hearing from others, but there's the shuti abhina. But there are so many different shutis. There are six puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, six puranas for those in the mode of passion, and six puranas for those in the mode of goodness. And they may be efficacious for people in those particular modes, but they may not be very helpful if one happens to be in a different boat and tries to follow a path which is not suitable for one's particular modes of nature. Therefore, hearing may not be helpful either. And there are so many sages, Gautama, Kanada, Patanjali, and they all have their paths. But the question is where they're actually going to lead us. Therefore, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, the actual real religion is hidden in the heart of a self-realized person. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Therefore, one should follow in the footsteps of such Mahajans. Now, Prabhupada writes that everyone's following in the footsteps of someone they think is a Mahajan. For those who are in ignorance, then Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu are Mahajans. They had so many followers. After Lord Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, thousands of Hiranyakashipu's followers came to fight against Lord Nrisimhadeva. So he was quite a popular demon. And they all followed his footsteps and got killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva. And for those in the mode of passion, Bill Gates or whoever the latest entrepreneur in modern society becomes the Mahajan. Because people think money, money sweeter than honey. If someone makes money, then they're sweeter than honey. Never mind, their lives are degraded and their understanding of reality is quite dim. But still, people will follow them because they're inspired. They think that if they enjoy sense gratification, then they'll be able to enjoy perpetually and to an unlimited degree. And for those amount of goodness, some ecologists, or save the whale, or the penguin, or the tortoise, whatever it is, they become the Mahajan. People dedicate their lives to making sure that every penguin gets fed in the North Pole, or the South Pole, or wherever they are. But the question is, everyone is intelligent and realizes that actually we're not this body, that none of these people can actually adequately be a Mahajan because they're not going to lead us anywhere except to another body. So people don't know in the Tevidu Swarthakatim Hi Vishnu, they don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Vishnu. They don't believe in God. They know nothing about him and they've already dismissed him. And they've accepted some Mahajan, some authority, who's telling us that everything came out of nothing. And for them it makes perfect sense because there is, Prabhupada would say, they're nonsense. They have no sense or they're nonsense. So the fact that everything came out of nothing makes perfect sense to them. And if you challenge them that if everything came out of nothing, why aren't more things coming out of nothing? If nothing is so productive, why do we need anything? We don't need anything. Nothing is much more productive than everything else. So, as Prabhupada said, well, what, if they actually believed in that philosophy, then they, why don't they sit at home and out of nothing, they'll become rich. All the money will just appear out of nothing for them. If universes appear out of nothing, why not money out of nothing? Just a little mountain of gold, that's all, out of nothing. Why don't they get their PhD out of nothing? Why go to school? You sit at home out of nothing, the PhD will appear. A little piece of paper that has your name on it. So they don't believe their own philosophy, nor does anyone else. But they become somehow or another authorities within society. So, if you challenge them, then people think, oh, that's very impolite. These are the authorities. How can you challenge them? They've already done the experiment. They've shown how a piece of light hits a glass And that proves that everything came out of nothing. Exactly how it proves that everything came out of nothing, you're going to have to go to college and get brainwashed for 30 years before you can understand it. So such people, they can't even understand that their body's changing. If you tell them, you challenge them, your body's changing, but you're not changing, they'll come up with some foolish answer. That's not true. My body's not changing at all. I have exactly the same body. I had that when I was in the womb of your mother. Really? Could I see a picture of your mother? I'd like to see what she looked like. So they're actually claiming that their body hasn't changed at all. It just looks different. It hasn't, it's completely different, but it hasn't changed. You can't understand that? Well, you should try to listen to the sound of one hand clapping. Then you'll be able to understand. If you can't hear the sound of one hand clapping, then certainly you won't understand this philosophy. You're not advanced enough. And the soul, we say the person inside the body, who's aware of the body, is not changing. And they'll claim, no, I'm completely different. I'm a completely different person. Well, really? Oh, you're aware of your 5-year-old body. That's right. And now you're aware of this body. So you must be the same person, right? No, that's not true. I'm completely different. The body is exactly the same, and I'm completely different. So trying to argue, explain philosophy to such a person is extremely difficult. The very thing that they're most aware of, namely the changing of their body, and the fact that they're aware of it, they can't understand. So obviously in Maya Pratigyana, their intelligence has been stolen. And therefore they're sure to follow another crazy authority. They already are mad, they're crazy. Too much intoxication or something, and they'll follow some other crazy person. Andaya tandira pagiyamanaste picha tantra urudami bara. So if one thinks that everyone in this material world is sane, then one is surely mistaken, and therefore one will, even in spite of the problems that people are causing themselves and others by following the wrong authority, we may just whimsically take up following some path that will also cause us problems. So, at least an authority should understand certain aspects of reality, like the fact that there's a difference between matter and spirit, and that there's a controller of both of them, as the minimum. Otherwise, on what basis is, or as Krishna says, they believe that to gratify their senses until the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. So that either we follow the path of self-realization to discover who we are as spiritual beings, our spiritual identity, or we'll follow some other path. And there are so many people leading. You can go on the internet, just type in anything, you'll find 500 people directing you on that path. Path to perfect health. Path to success. A person's poverty stricken, has no money. He's writing a book so he can get money enough to eat. And he's writing a book, how to make $1 million in 2 weeks. He himself can't even pay the rent. And he's writing a book on how to make $1 million in 2 weeks. Or as Prabhupada used to point out, some so-called spiritualist, he's writing a book, and in the book it says, don't read books. Or he writes that everyone is guru, you don't need guru. So if you don't need guru, what do we have to listen to you for? So they're outside of Krishna consciousness, generally their lives and their philosophies are full of contradictions, falsities, ignorance, And yet people are mad after following them, hoping that this will help me. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a dog. He's going to swim across the ocean and someone's catching his tail, hoping to get a free ride across the ocean. He may be surely disappointed that he didn't quite make it across the ocean by such an endeavor. Similarly, if we're trying to cross the ocean of material misery, then we better make sure that we actually follow some path that's actually going to get us there, or else we're just going to wind up amongst the other 8,400,000 species of life if everyone else had followed a path and wound up staying in the material world. So, and Prabhupada also mentions here, which is interesting, that it's not only standard books of moral and spiritual codes. So if people can't follow spiritual codes, at least they should get some idea of moral codes, that there are laws of nature. For instance, it's not like whatever I do, if everyone agrees upon it, if we vote on it, then it's legal. On that basis, the whole society has become practically less than animals. Abortion, killing animals, these are all considered to be perfectly all right because they're, quote, legal in society. And if there's some society, for instance, where they don't allow, you know, taking alcohol or illicit sex in public, then people consider these, in modern society, in the Western society, they're considered barbaric and we have to change them. They're considered primitive societies. They actually follow moral codes. As if everyone in the society has a happy family life and prosperity reigns for everyone. And therefore we have to make sure that we import to every other country in the world, no matter how good they're doing in reality, we have to import our values to them, or else we feel like there's something we might... something might be wrong with our value system. That is, we think it's glorious that people can't stay married anymore. They can't, they're always in anxiety, they're getting horrible diseases. But we think that this must be standard because we're doing it and we're the greatest. We are the supreme. But they're wrong. So we should actually find out standard books of moral and spiritual codes so we, at least we can become up to the human form of life. And then human beings might be able to understand philosophy. If you tell a dog you're not your body, it'll probably bite you. Tell a tiger, you know, you should be a vegetarian. He'll probably eat you. So we should try to find people who are a little bit receptive to at least moral philosophy. What to speak of spiritual knowledge. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes?
What's the difference between following and
imitating?
Yeah.
Well, the authorities give us instructions according to time, place, and audience, and we should follow those instructions. But if we imitate the authority, then we'll get into trouble. What they're doing may be one thing, but what we're capable of doing may be something completely different. Although generally the authority will try and act in such a way as others can follow, but sometimes that's not possible. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Shiva. He drank an ocean of poison. So one may imitate that by smoking ganja, but one was simply calling death near. Or Krishna gave so many instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but he also danced with the gopis at night. So do we think, well, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and he said, give up all varieties of religion. So, and he danced with gopis at night, so it follows. I'll follow that. As far as surrendering unto him, that will come after I dance with all the gopis. So that's imitating rather than following. Krishna was able to dance with the gopis there in their spiritual bodies. We don't even know what a spiritual body is, what to speak of dancing with one. So we should follow his instructions to become liberated from the material concept of life, and then we can begin to understand, you know, what Krishna was actually doing. Anything else? Yes.
Does the pure devotee know that he's a pure devotee?
Of course he knows he's a pure devotee. If he didn't know he's a pure devotee, he must be in ignorance. How could he not know he's a pure devotee?
But does he think about himself, I am pure devotee?
Yeah, of course he knows he's a pure devotee. Feels very humble. When you become a pure devotee, then you realize you're 1/10,000th the size of Tip Aaron's size. So, just think about 1/10,000th the size of Tip Aaron's size. How puffed up can you be? And the pure devotee knows I'm a pure devotee only due to the mercy of my spiritual master. Because by his mercy, I became a pure devotee, and therefore I'm not interfering with Krishna anymore. I became his instrument. And therefore Krishna is doing everything. All I'm doing is taking shelter of the lotus feet of my spiritual master. That makes me a pure devotee. So he doesn't think, well, I'm a pure devotee, I'm purer than everyone, etc. No, he sees everyone as Krishna's eternal servant, serving Krishna in some way, and he thinks that everyone is serving Krishna better than he is. Therefore, he's in love with Krishna and he's in love with everyone. That's why he's a pure devotee. So from our point of view, if we became a pure devotee, we'd take a little sign, put it around our neck, pure devotee. But a pure devotee, he becomes a pure devotee because he realizes how insignificant he is and how great Krishna is and how great everyone else is. That's why he's a pure devotee. We're trying to just become a devotee. What to speak of a pure devotee? You become a devotee, then you appreciate everyone. Then you become very humble. You see how wonderful everyone is and become devoted to them purely. Then you become very humble. There's no reason to get puffed up if you become pure. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.